This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. On Friday, Governor Rick Perry was indicted on two counts of abuse of power. Perry has since said that the indictment was an abuse of power itself and a farce. Here he is speaking on Fox News Sunday yesterday.
Well, I certainly take everything I do seriously. The rule of law, and particularly, I take seriously. But let me just share with you, David Axelrod said that this was a very sketchy indictment. Professor Dershowitz, who is not exactly my cheerleader, said that it was outrageous. So I think across the board, you're seeing people weigh in and reflecting that this is way outside of the norm.
Depending on where you park on the political spectrum, you either had a dose of political outrage or schadenfreude when you heard the news of Perry's indictment. And we want to hear from you. Call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Or you can write to us on our website at tpr.org or write on our Facebook page, and we'll get that post on the air. Now, our guest for this segment is Craig McDonald. He's the director of Texans for Public Justice, a nonprofit watchdog group that filed the complaint that led to the indictment. Craig, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Craig, we're going to get to all the unpacking of the facts about the veto and all that, and what led to that, and how it's more complicated, more nuanced than we're being led to believe by some. But first, I want to get to that tweet that people keep talking about from David Axelrod, who, of course, is a senior political strategist and a close associate with Barack Obama. So the entire tweet was, unless he was demonstrably trying to scrap the ethics unit for other than his stated reason, Perry indictment seems pretty sketchy. So it's more than what Rick Perry just said it was.
Yeah, well, we're getting a lot of comments on the validity of the indictment from legal minds and political minds across the country who I think misunderstand the facts. And one reason you might misunderstand the facts is because of Governor Perry's defense and Governor Perry's, quote, "I'm not a crook" press conference on Saturday. He tried to mislead the public on what this was about. He only talks about that this is about his power to veto the budget of the corruption unit. It was not about the veto at all. It was about him using the veto as a club over the head of Travis County District Attorney to force her resignation. As the Republican special prosecutor says, the facts in this and the law is pretty clear. And again, people are listening to the diversion about a drunken district attorney and about how he has the power to veto anything he wants. We agree with both those things. The district attorney's conduct is not defensible. His power to veto whatever he wants is absolute and certain. No one has ever questioned those facts. What they question is him using the power of that veto to hold over the head of another public official, of whom he has no control over. She served Travis County at the pleasure of the Travis County voters. So it's not the veto and it's not drunk driving. It's his abuse, as the indictment says correctly, it's his abuse of his office.
Is this something that governors do? If you have a line item veto like Perry has, maybe he can make a deal with some lawmaker, some legislator, to say, vote on this bill the way I want you to. If not, I'll veto the funding for your pet project.
Yeah, well, making a deal or compromising with a lawmaker is a little different. Perry has a constitutional role in the legislative process. The give and take of that process is understood and acceptable. Here he was trying to get another public official whom he has no control over, who doesn't work for the state, who doesn't work for the governor, trying to force that official to step down from her job. And when you do bring the motive in, potential motives, one that he wanted to, he would like to have appointed a Republican prosecutor to take her place, or he wanted to stop an ongoing investigation of his key cancer project, CPRIT. You know, he has some motivations. Now, in the past, we have had more than one district attorney arrested for drunk driving, for DWI. There were two others recently, or in the recent years. Rick Perry never opened his mouth about those. He did open his mouth and criticize Rosemary Lemberg because we believe he had ulterior motives.
So there were other district attorneys in Texas while Rick Perry was governor who were arrested for DWI, and Perry never called for their resignations.
That's correct.
Okay, so and with prosecutor, you know, Lundberg was not the special prosecutor. Lindberg was not the special prosecutor on this case. That was Michael McCrum. So that kind of I see that detail left out in some of the reporting on this that people keep forgetting that.
Oh, in the reporting too, and no wonder, because Perry's Saturday press conference ranted about how this was a political partisan witch hunt. From Travis County. He said Travis County was engaged in a political partisan witch hunt. Nothing could be further from the truth. No Democrat from Travis County has been involved at all in this prosecution and these indictments. Our legal complaint was handed to a judge in Travis County who rightfully, immediately recused herself and passed our complaint on to the chief judge of the 3rd Judicial Region in Texas, a Republican judge from Williamson County, appointed by Rick Perry, who then saw the merits of this and appointed a independent special judge, who, again, from outside of Travis County, from Bexar County, who was a Republican, who then thought this merited the appointment of a special prosecutor. That judge appointed a special prosecutor, Michael McCrum, who served under H.W. Bush and George Bush, a Republican. So for Perry to say this is a political partisan witch hunt just doesn't stand in the facts. If it is a witch hunt and partisan, it's being carried out by members of his own political party. So the governor's been good with diversion, and he touches some hot point buttons, but they don't stand the test of reality.
Let me ask you about something else. So Senator Ken Paxton, who is the GOP candidate for attorney general, and he's been accused of having some problems with breaking the law with securities. Are you also trying to get an indictment on him?
We have filed a complaint on his behavior and what we believe was securities fraud. He has actually pleaded guilty of that, if you will, and he signed a disciplinary action with state regulators. If that is true, he has committed a felony, and yes, indeed, we have filed a complaint against him.
And any information on where that is, what's happening on
no,
that?
No, the only information is that prosecutors here have acknowledged that they received it, and that's the norm. They don't comment on an ongoing investigation or what might be an ongoing investigation, particularly so close to an election. It's, I guess, 4 months away now.
Okay, I want to thank you, Craig McDonald, director of Tech for Texans for Public Justice, a nonprofit watchdog group that filed the complaint that led to the indictment of Governor Rick Perry on Friday. Craig, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And when we come back from this break, we're going to be joined by Professor Cal Gilson, a political science professor at SMU in Dallas, and Brian Weiss, the appellate attorney for Tom DeLay, to get two other perspectives on what's happening with this indictment of Governor Rick Perry. Stay with us. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
I wholeheartedly and unequivocally stand behind my veto, and I'll continue to defend this lawful action of my executive authority as governor. We don't settle political differences with indictments in this country. It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's constitution. This indictment amounts to nothing more than abuse of power. And I cannot and I will not allow that to happen.
And that was Governor Rick Perry on Saturday responding to his Friday indictment. And of course, Republicans initially dismissed Watergate as a third-rate burglary. We never know where a story is going to take us. But right now, Governor Perry is indicted on two charges of abuse of power. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you think about these developments? Do you support Governor Perry? Do you support the prosecutor and the courts and going after him on this? Do you think it's all political? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And as we continue, let's bring in our two other guests, Professor Cal Gilson, political science professor at SMU at Dallas, and Brian Weiss, an appellate attorney working for former Congressman Tom DeLay. Cal, let me ask you, is this too nuanced for people to kind of process, to see the videotape of Rosemary Limburg as she's, you know, clearly drunk and acting up and driving, and they just say, well, the Perry, all the more power to him.
Well, I think that it is more nuanced than what we have seen in most of the press. And I think Craig McDonald just a moment ago was right in saying that it's not a liberal Democratic political assault on a Republican governor, Rick Perry. The nuance comes really. Everyone recognizes that Perry had the right to line item veto anything in the budget. And as Craig suggested, the nuance is in the back and forth between Perry and his representatives and people in Austin and Travis County District Attorney's Office, the business of negotiating for her resignation and saying that the money would be vetoed unless she resigned and could be replaced if she did resign. I think it's in that very complicated middle ground where McCrum and his panel have been investigating where some interesting information may be found.
Let's go to the phone lines, and our phones are open. If you want to call in, join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Bill has called in. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just can't believe that the individual that was mentioned, Republican, for Pete's sake, would carry out a vendetta against this Republican governor. It seems to me he's a long-time serving individual. And like many human beings, he has decided to allow a sense of control and ownership and arrogance to rule the day. And that's why he's coming back with this thing about what he will do and will not do. He's talking big and bad, which is expected, but I believe he should be pursued. These charges should be pursued as they would for anyone else. He's a public servant, no less.
All right, Bill, thank you for that call. I appreciate that. So Brian Weiss, the appellate attorney for Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay, of course, was convicted of criminal charges of conspiracy to violate election law, and he was he's currently out. He's formally acquitted, and the state of Texas has appealed the dismissal, and we're waiting for results from the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. Is that correct, Mr. Weiss?
It is, absolutely. We were able to convince a majority of the Third Court of Appeals last September that this imbroglio was as unsupported as it was unsupportable. They reversed and acquitted both of Mr. DeLay's convictions. The state was successful in convincing the Court of Criminal Appeals, the state's highest court, to review the case. We argued it in mid-June based on the tenor of the oral argument. I'm cautiously optimistic that they will see this for what it is, and will affirm the decision of the Court of Appeals, making these cases go away.
Right, but as they say, you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. So Tom DeLay is no longer a congressman, and effectively, certainly not as powerful as he once was. So these charges, even though some people say it's just there's some consequences to them.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point, because that line that you just used is, in my estimation, about beating the rap and not beating the ride, is in a very real sense the unofficial motto of the criminal justice system. It wasn't enough for Ronnie Earle and his handpicked successor, Rosemary Limburg, those nattering nabobs, to have merely indicted Tom DeLay for conduct that one and soon two appellate courts will conclude wasn't illegal, but they destroyed him on a personal level. And if I've learned anything at all from my involvement with Mr. DeLay over the course of the last 3 years, you know, I'm the great-grandson of Russian Jews who thought that FDR saved the world, in a very real sense he did. And I'm sure that my ancestors are spinning in their sepulchres wondering why it is that I wound up representing Tom DeLay and have come to the defense of the governor over the course of the last 72 hours. And there's a very simple reason. It's what our moms taught us. If it doesn't look right, feel right, or seem right, it's not right. And in the words of noted legal sage Woody Allen, these indictments on Friday much like the indictments in Tom's case over a decade ago, are a farce of a mockery of an outrage of an injustice.
Now, you know, Special Prosecutor Michael McCrum, when do you buy into this, that he is a political hack going after Rick Perry?
Absolutely not. And let me make one thing, in the words of noted legal sage Richard Nixon, perfectly clear. I have the utmost respect for Mike McCrum. He was a talented prosecutor, an equally talented defense attorney. He should have been, as we're having this conversation, and should be the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Texas sitting in Austin, and should have been and would have been with bipartisan support, except that the chuckleheads in the White House dropped the ball on that. No, I want to distinguish between Mike's involvement in this case and Rosemary Lemberg and Ronnie Earle's involvement in delay. I think that in the latter case, Ms. Lemberg and Mr. Earle consistently had their finger on the scale of justice, and it was, in a very real sense from the very beginning, a purely political pursuit. Mike McCrum, in my estimation, has done what Judge Burt Richardson appointed him to do, which was to conduct a full and ostensibly fair grand jury proceeding. But what we need to understand is that we're talking about 12 Travis County residents who weren't smart enough to get out of grand jury duty, who ultimately suffered through a crash course on a couple of statutes that give even veteran litigators headaches. And I'm not suggesting any bad faith or ill will. I'm just suggesting that sometimes our sense of moral outrage seems to take precedence over even probable cause in front of a grand jury.
Well, a grand jury is a lot different than a regular jury that you would get in a court. And so these people tend to be much more highly respected in the community.
Well, and I say that with all due respect, but not necessarily so. You know, this is a grand jury picked at random, and we don't know their politics or their political bent or whether they even necessarily understood what it was
right,
they
we don't
were doing
know.
when they handed up a true bill. But you make a great point. There is a chasm that exists between probable cause and a one-sided secret grand jury and proof beyond a reasonable doubt in a trial courtroom in another.
Professor Cal Gilson, a lot of people are looking at Governor Perry's trajectory, political trajectory. He is running for the White House. He is spending more time in Iowa than any other Republican candidate these days. On Friday, he's expected to be in New Hampshire. Does Rick Perry even have a shot at the presidency? I mean, he hasn't really shown up in the polling.
Well, his shot was slim at best before this started, because his run for the Republican nomination in 2012 went from front runner to his oops moment very, very quickly, and established in the national mind a range of doubts about Rick Perry's capabilities and command of issues. And he's been working very hard to try to recoup that with some success, because his management of the border control issues and the immigration issues have really been quite good over the last couple of months. And some of the polls did show him moving up into the middle tier of a dozen or so Republican candidates. But this indictment will slow that momentum. And if he's not able to get the charges dismissed without trial, before trial, I think it will really affect his long-term chances. Because what will happen in a trial is that even if the top line issues, there'll be all kinds of discussion about the internal workings of Perry's office, what his operatives said to each other, the kinds of conversations they had with people in Lemberg's office, and all of that is sausage making. It's difficult to look at and to see without discrediting the people involved. So there'll be big losses for him. If he goes to trial, he's got to try to avoid that.
So, Brian Rice, Weiss, your power attorney, you worked for Tom DeLay. What would be your strategy right now?
Well, I think ultimately what we're going to see, that David Botsford, who, as we have this conversation right now, is the lead sled dog in the defense team, one of the smartest pound-for-pound criminal defense attorneys in the free world, and I said that because I've known him for 20-plus years, and I consider him a good friend. David is, in all likelihood, going to file a pretrial writ, probably in the next week, 10 days, contending on the basis of case law that the statutes that are in play here are unconstitutionally overbroad, vague, and essentially are foreclosed by Governor Perry's right to free speech and expression in the political context. Whether or not that writ has any traction is going to be the $64,000 question. But Judge Burt Richardson, again, for whom I have the utmost respect, who I've heard great things about from both Republicans, Democrats, prosecutors, and defense attorneys, will have to make a determination of whether or not there's any basis to that request, and he can pull the plug on this litigation sooner rather than later. But the one thing that I think your listeners need to understand is that the defense team and Tom DeLay had that same thought all those many years ago, believing that filing the writ would ultimately put an end to this again sooner rather than later. Certainly the fact that you and I and the professor are having this conversation proved everybody wrong. 12.5 years later,
right,
we're
still
having
it.
This dialogue, and it's not over yet.
Cal Gilson, how damaging would a mugshot of Rick Perry be?
Well, I think that his defense team is thinking about everything, including that, and their advice to him is a Tom DeLay smile is the way to go when you are when you're brought before the cameras. You'll remember these many years ago that Tom DeLay, in his mugshot, didn't look distraught. He didn't look overwhelmed. He had a big smile. And so the optics of this thing are important, and I think Perry will manage that pretty well.
All right, Cal.
Well, and if I can jump in real quick.
Real quick.
Say in TV, we had breaking news. Today, Judge Richardson ruled that the governor would not have to be subject to a warrant, which would mean his fingerprinting and mugshot as part of the process. He decided to issue the governor a summons, which does not require him and did not require him today to submit to either fingerprinting or having his mugshot taken.
Okay, so no mugshot, no fingerprinting. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Absolutely. Yep.
And how long for that? Until further in the process before they can get this thing thrown out?
Yeah, it's a question of when Mike McCrum and David Botsford sit down and can arrange a time to have the parties come to court and to put this on some sort of timetable so that the case can ultimately reach critical mass.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Brian Weiss. He is an appellate attorney working for Tom DeLay, and also Professor Cal Gilson, a political science professor at SMU in Dallas. We've been talking about Governor Perry's indictment for two counts of abuse of power that came out on Friday. When we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about steroid use in Texas high schools, the testing program in the state, not finding any positives. Are our kids clean, or is our test broken? This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after this news.